Hi, welcome to this episode of Inspirational Crits, which is episode 24. Now, by the way, you guys, exciting.
High volume.
So, it's been a while since our last one. We kind of had a little bit of a refresher before we went, you know, started recording. But the last time that we played, the party made a plan to invade Evereska, which was not making a plan because we're doing a special homebrew thing that I stole from Abrea from Critical Role. And then they explored the town of Whitefair. They made some purchases of candles, magical items, baked goods, and other fun things.
They aren't candles.
They're candles.
It says candle on my notes. So.
Yes, you have candles. They're candles.
Fire, acid, radiant candles. Yeah.
But not before Celaya approached her birth mother, Sarah Denthier, at the orphanage, where she explained her her relationship with Zaur. Then, on their way home, they were greeted by Mircea, to which this, I believe, is Charlie's, Victor's, and Yorkris's first time meeting Mircea. He is the mystic that lives in Whitefair. And they were greeted by him, and he welcomed them back to Whitefair, and then also proceeded to hit on Yarkris. And yeah. And when Celaya informed him that Yarkris was engaged, he said, "That's fine. His partner can join too." And that's where we left off last time, and that's where we're picking up right now. And he did invite you in to have a cup of tea before, you know, because the sun is just going down. It's just starting to set. So, some evening tea, if you would like it.
I mean, I will always have a glass, cup of tea. Besides, a night raid would not be beneficial for some of the party.
Is this the part of the game where everyone who has night vision goes, "DM, I have night vision"?
Yes. I know which one of you,
none of them need to be pluralized because which you can be a plural.
Which of these guys?
And sashimis.
I have an orb.
You do have an orb.
And then everybody can see.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Night raid.
Night raid!
Oh my gosh.
Night raid, baby.
You're skipping the Genasi.
You're not skipping the Genasi. He's inviting you in for tea. Do you go in for tea?
We accept his tea and bring pie, because we've not done that in literal forever.
Yeah. That is a thing we haven't done forever.
So he leads you guys into his house. Let me put you there. This is Mircea's. Isn't it beautiful?
That is absolutely a sex pit.
Yeah.
That's a table in the center.
Not that.
No.
The pillows.
Yeah. So he has these two really beautiful, handcrafted, well-made wicker chairs off to the left side of the room, which also there is like a cabinet that also has a small, it's like a shrine, it looks to be, to several different gods, well, a couple different gods. And then there is a table off to the right with four chairs. Directly in front of you is a fireplace, which is decorated with all sorts of different knickknacks and ornaments and fun, colorful items that you don't know where they're from, and it's just surrounded by pillows and cushions.
Yeah, so, Joey, on the topic of those pillows, like, do I need work-safe anti-flip boots in here, or, like, how slick are the floors?
They're not slick at all. They are a very nice, clean tile.
Celaya's like, this looks corny even by my standards.
Jesus Christ. So yeah, that's his little like work/living area. Oh, and there's windows, and then there is also a door in the middle off to the left side of the room over here. This is a door. So he leads you in, and he goes to the pillows where there is like a set of, there's like a tea set on the center table.
I don't think Victor is physically capable of turning down a tea invitation.
Yeah, I feel like if he didn't.
Like Faye. It's like Faye rules.
Yeah. Yeah. You know that whole like step on a crack, break your mother's back? It's more like deny tea from a stranger, break your mother's
down
back.
Two rungs on the social ladder.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, oh my God, did you hear? He was asked to tea and said no. Scandalous. So he goes about and starts making tea. So it's been a while since you've been back, and yes, I do see you have new people with you. Quite interesting new people. Giving a side eye to Yarkris.
I undo my scabbards.
Oh.
So I can sit on one of the pillows.
Is that a euphemism or
no?
Hold on, wait. Boats, what would undoing one's penis be? Dude, tell me right now.
I don't know, man. Sometimes I just feel out of the loop on what.
A euphemism for what?
No, you have to undo your scabbards in order to sit down on pillows.
This is true. So, what all have you been up to?
We relay what we've been up to. It's been a lot. We're more interested in what you're about to be up to.
Travel the world, captured some Zentanari that gone rogue.
Sorry, captured what?
What's a Zentanari?
Victor is staring daggers at Yarkris.
It's the couple name of the Zentanari and the Zentarum.
Zentanari?
The Zentanari, it's their couple name.
Hate it.
I ship it.
Oh, God. Travis and Pythias. Oh, God, what have I done?
You didn't do anything. That was all Yark.
No, apparently I smell buttered toast. Anybody else smell toast?
Oh, God, no, you're having a stroke.
Okay.
Is the person whose name I already forgot making toast?
Mercea?
Yeah, nope. I'm not going to remember that. Is the Genasi making toast?
Oh, my God, his name is Mercea. No, he's not making toast. So, well, did you have any luck finding any of those vestiges that you were looking for?
DM, refresh my memory. Do we have any reason to want to share that information with him? I don't think we do.
I mean, he's friendly and he helped you find them.
Yeah, but doesn't he could be possessed. Know how powerful we are.
Yeah.
Okay, that's fair. Do you want to do an insight check on Mercea?
Sure.
Victor definitely would, because he's just meeting this person for the first time.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, insight on Marcellus Wallace.
That's a 30.
Wow, Trayvok, I'm impressed.
I look into his fucking soul, and then Victor looks deeper.
Victor looks deeper.
He can see clear through him.
So, he's genuinely just curious, because he did, you know, try to give you guys advice on how to find it, on how to find stuff. And he's just trying to make conversation, and is just genuinely curious.
Okay. Knowing that, Spivak will respond with, we've had a few leads, but, you know, with these secret, powerful artifacts, gotta keep things close to the vest. And he just sort of taps his chest plate a few times.
Right. So, what kind of tea does everyone want? I have several different varieties. And he goes over to this cabinet towards the right of the room and opens it, and it is just filled with, like, the top three shelves are just filled with, like, a whole bunch of different types of loose leaf tea. It looks like my house.
Young white jade.
All right, yeah.
Victor would actually be impressed if he has that.
I think Jasmine I might have tea. Some just in the far back. Hold on. And he kind of, like, gets up on his tiptoes and reaches up and, like, pushes some jars aside, pulls some down. Oh, right, there it is. And he pulls out a jar and sets it to the side. And you said jasmine?
Yes.
Do you want anything in it? Just plain jasmine? Like jasmine lavender with lemon? Anything? Just jasmine? I have that.
Yeah, I think Octa would probably peppermint.
Oh, yes, very easily, yes. So he brings over the teas that you guys want, and he sets up the cups and the steepers and sets them all in front of you and then starts pouring water into the cups.
I am going to take this spot right here.
Cool. He'll sit right there.
Oh, boy.
Wait, where are you sitting, Arkers?
Hold
right
on.
There.
Where did he sit?
Marcia is trying to sit in front of me.
And next to...
These pillows are a bit big.
Oh yeah, they're huge. Think of them like, I know that you guys, I don't know, I think most of you know the size of the pillow that Alex and Abby have in their house.
I was going to say, I'll take a picture for context with Squish pillows.
I remember it.
It's pretty big. So it's a little bit smaller than those.
So for frame of reference for our listeners, would it be about the size of a twin?
It's a little bit shorter and they're more squarish. But yeah, they're pretty big. You could comfortably fit like two people. You could squeeze three people.
So, Princess, you told me that you did make it back to your home. How did that go? You said not good, I believe.
Not great. I'm not going to spell it all out right now. That would take forever. But how would he react to that after I tell the story? I'll tell the story.
Yeah. Well, that is quite a lot. I'm glad that everything turned out decently well. And hopefully you do kill that rapscallion. He sounds like quite a terrible person.
Oh, he's all right. He's as good as dead.
Oh, good to hear that. So, and he just, like, is sipping his own tea. So, well, while I have you all here, would anybody be interested in, you know, a reading or anything? Perhaps you. And he glances at Yarkris.
Oh, boy. You know what? Why not?
Fantastic. Is there anything specific that you're interested in knowing about?
I'm trying to think about that.
You do have a location that you don't know where it's at.
I do. And I have that in my notes.
Oh my god, you have notes. I'm so proud of you.
Shut up.
What?
I don't know where Thornhold is. I don't know where the Drow City is. There's quite a few questions there.
Does he know where my dragon daddy is?
Trayvok knows where. Is Trayvok just sitting at the table?
Correct. So Trayvok has been at the table, and when he gets his tea, he just very methodically and sort of scientifically pours it into his tankard, and then pours some of the like alcohol that I've been making my mixed drinks with, and I'm making a concoction on the table and sipping on that as they're talking.
I love that.
But yes, what do I know?
Trayvok knows where Thornhold is. That's where he's from.
Trayvok just rambles on about what a fine city it is. Like, think the scene where Gimli's describing Moria in Fellowship.
So, what would you like to know?
The entrance to the Drow City. I can't remember the name of it.
Menzo Baranzan.
That's the name. Thank
Menzo,
you.
Menzo Baranzan. I can tell you that without having to look at your hand or scry. I know that there's one beneath Thornhold. There's one up north near Mithril Hall, if I believe. There are various other entrances, but those are the two main ones I can think of.
Fair enough.
Writes down in notes.
I already wrote it down in notes that I'm supposed to talk to you about Thornhold.
Yeah, unfortunately, it's a great city, but I'm not going to be particularly welcome there. And he just does sort of like a bumbling cough and, you know, is like, oh, some messy business with my father.
Fair enough. Then we'll have to find a new way down to Menzo Barazan.
Close. So close.
Baranzan.
There you go. Nailed it. Got it in one.
That was Aaron who said that, but okay.
Yeah, I know.
It's hard for dragonborn mouths to pronounce that.
Oh, a different shaped mouth.
I mean, they got like those big elongated, you know, all the big teeth and everything. It's hard for them to pronounce everything.
Interesting. Well, shall we see perhaps what your future has anyway? And he pulls a small, it's probably like smaller than like a little bit smaller than like a volleyball, this crystal ball from the mantle, and sets it down on the table in front of him, puts a hand on it, and then reaches a hand out to you, Yarkris.
Okay.
Your hand.
I give him. Oh. It's only a hand.
Let me roll. All right. So you see him close his eyes and seems to focus for a little bit, and then his brow kind of furrows, and he goes, I see mountains and a town. Those maybe dragons? I don't know. Wait, they could be large birds. One? No, not a red one. I'm not sure. Large flying things. They could be dragons, they could be birds, they could be other beasts that can fly, but it's very hazy.
Okay.
Very deserty. Not anywhere around here. Probably further out east.
And what about these mountains with flying things that look scaly?
That's all I saw. I tried to see your future, and that's all I could see.
Wait, question is, does, I think, yeah, no, I do know. Yarkris does know. You wouldn't happen to be talking about Skyriders, would you?
That could be it. The mountains are out east. Far out east. I don't know much about them. I haven't really been there myself. But if you have some kind of a connection to that place, then it's somewhere in your future.
Neat.
Anyone else?
Sure. I'll bite.
He comes over and he sits on the cushion next to you in front of Octa, brings a crystal ball with him, holds out his hand. Let's roll this die. Oh, okay. That was really good. Oh, this is interesting. You're going to be going a lot of different places, aren't you?
I intend on it.
Huh. I would be wary in the caverns on your way to Evereska. Be prepared for anything.
What, like me specifically, or us as a group?
I think everyone is a group, but somebody has a very specific vendetta against you.
That's not terribly surprising. Do I look like someone who doesn't piss people off?
Oh no, you certainly do. You dress like one.
Yeah. With all respect here, dear Genasi, you heard the story of how we've been traveling around looking for these things, and then you ask if I'm going to continue traveling around, then you look at the man very clearly dressed as a noble and say, you have enemies, don't you?
I understand how that can seem a bit not forthcoming and truthful about my abilities, but your family was having a bit of a hard time recently, weren't they? You recently came home, a brother murdered.
I imagine that news spread. Again, I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just saying these are things that, you know, any person well-connected to information would know.
Well, it certainly looks like your family's newfound connection with the Zentarm is going to turn out quite well in their favor.
Good to hear. And the first thing that probably wouldn't be in broadsheets. Victor nods with a bit of respect of, like, he's not totally convinced, but it's like the dude has information that's not just public then. You know?
Yeah. Well, and he kind of just squeezes your hand before letting go, giving you, like, this sly side-eye smirk.
Yeah, Victor smirks.
And then he glances over at Charlie. Charlie, you bagged yourself a good one.
I know.
Yeah. And the only reason I'm not flirting with him is because I know that I do not want to incur the wrath of you. So, but if you ever get... If you ever get... Adventurous. You know where to find me.
How do I roll for under? Is that constitution?
Yes.
I think you just sit on your die.
You that's sit on a d4.
Yeah.
I was gonna say, you step on a d4 like a Lego.
Yeah. You're like, eight for my con save.
Yeah, you were extremely uncomfortable.
Victor chokes on his tea. A little bit.
Yeah.
Victor's not that kind of rich person. Oh my.
Oh, they're so cute when they get flustered.
Yeah. Bravok is continuing to like this guy less and less and questions whether this guy actually does any business that's worthwhile.
He's literally just a mystic.
Harsh thoughts from Bravok.
Well, he's just openly like flirting with, and well, I don't want to say making everybody uncomfortable, but specifically the last interaction uncomfortable, which, you know.
Yeah. It's
really horny Miss Cleo.
I've got a game. Victor carries a playing card set.
Oh.
Gonna take that out and shuffle it a bit and put three cards on the table.
Oh.
Face down.
All right.
And looks at Marcel and he goes, did you see this coming?
I'm not that kind of mystic. Well, I have to purposely use it. What exactly do you want?
Oh, I was curious if, you know, if I flip these over in the future, if you'd be able to say what cards they are.
I could try. And look,
Victor just kind of flips them out. I like to bet sometimes.
I can see that. Look, I don't claim to know everything perfectly, or be able to see everything clearly, or know everyone's future, past or present. I just have the ability to try, and that's what I do.
Bravok in his infinite shade, just loud enough to definitely not be under his breath, but appear as though he was trying, just makes a comment that he also tries to see the future sometimes. Everybody has that ability.
There's four suits and a playing card, and I understand, you know, maybe vision's a little fuzzy. Do you think you could tell me the colors?
I could certainly try.
and he'll reach out and he'll touch each of the cards.
Victor, much so, like his player, is a complete skeptic.
Okay, so ironic, 'cause he... So the first card, he's just like, I'm not sure, but that one's probably a red card. And he gets that color right. Which, I mean, that's a 50-50 chance.
Yeah, no, Vic is aware.
And then the second card, he says, that one is sort of four, maybe a five. Yes, I think maybe a four. And it's a black card. He gets that one right, but the number was wrong. The number was a five. He was off on that one. And then the last one, he seems like he's finally gotten...
He said he did get the color right, though?
He got the color right. The number was wrong.
Victor's
he
can only like count to four. Nods.
And then the last card, it seems like he's gotten a hang of the game that he's playing now. And he kind of, like, smirks a little. This one. This is the Ace of Clubs. And there's a bit of a dirt smudge in the upper left-hand corner of the card. Probably got that one from playing one night with your brother and eating something. Possibly in a tavern somewhere in Waterdeep.
Victor is poker-facing it as best he can.
You've had a lot of fun with these sets of cards.
What they're for.
Hold tight to those memories. Anyway, that was fun. We should do that again. I should do that more often. That's quite fun.
Did he flip the card?
You can flip it if you want.
Victor flips it.
It is the correct card. And there is the little dirt smudge up in the upper corner, like he said.
Well, based on my original game, if you got all the colors right, then there's an 85% chance that, there's something going on with you.
I think Octa's eyes, because like Octa's seeing this up close, and her eyes kind of go wide for a second. Like, so you could like, I mean, like I don't have anything crazy going on. Like you could just like see what happens in my future.
Sure. Are you interested?
Yeah, sure.
All right. Here. And he holds out his hand to take yours. All right. I'm not rolling that dice. Havoc, your dice that you gave me failed me a couple of times.
And it,
you really haven't used them, so.
And I think so, Octa just starts like over explaining. You know, I it's been a long time since I've seen like a mystic or anything. It's been probably since like High Forest, but like I don't know. It's like, what's the harm, right? It'll be fine.
And he takes your hand and puts a hand on the glass orb, and almost immediately is like, "Oh, you're looking for a bow, Fenthrus. Yes, I can. Yes, I can see it. It's in the Feywild, but you knew that." It's underground. You're going to have to face a lot of challenges to get there. Those are fuzzy, I can't see, but it's going to be quite a journey. The creature that holds this bow is not exactly as they seem, but be wary, it's dangerous. Do be careful.
Is the bow, like, red or black? Like...
It's black.
I am putting that as a note in my notes.
A very black and twisted creature of the nature of the Feywild.
Well, I was going to say, is there also a number on it?
No, the creature doesn't have a number.
It's the Ace of Bows.
The Ace of Bows. Well, Trayvon, if you're such a skeptic, then there's no harm in just looking and just playing along, is there? Let's see what your future holds.
Trayvon will be willing to do this, but he mutters something about conjurers of cheap tricks under his breath and pops down the monocle and activates it.
Okay. And you look around, and it's just Mircea, and there's nothing that is invisible, or... I mean, you see Charlie's true form, but other than that, he appears to be what he is. You're just going to keep it up while he reads your fortune?
Yes.
Okay. Let me roll. Oh, that's pretty good. That's not bad. Obsidian dice are doing good tonight. Alright. You did say you were from Thornhold, so obviously that's not going to be a big deal. But I do see it coming back into your future. You might have to return there at some point. Perhaps for this entrance to the Underdark that Yarkris was talking about?
You said there were others, though, right?
Yes, I do see a woman. She looks like you. She's a little bit like you. She must be your mother. She seems happy to see you.
Trayvok is going to be, like, deliberately unimpressed at this point, making a point.
And when he says, your mother, he goes, yes, I do have one of those.
Indeed.
And just, like, waves him on.
But it looks like that hammer in your hand could be the key to proving your innocence to a crime that you did not commit.
It's how you're innocent.
Yes, but his family doesn't appear to believe that. I won't pry, but that hammer is important from more than whatever way it already is.
If that's it, Treyvok will just be like, noted, and like pulls his hand back.
Message to Treyvok. Ah, yes, the ancient artifact hammer that catches fire out of nowhere.
It's important, yes.
And also in the message, look, mathematically he's more likely psychic than not. That doesn't mean he's helpful.
Right.
Well, let's find out. Do me.
Oh, princess.
Not the first time you've said that.
Not like that, Vic.
Well, princess.
Clearly he wouldn't be interested.
I don't normally go after women, but princess, if you do insist.
Well.
Oh, wow.
Green check.
Instinctively tightens the grip on the staff of the fire maul as he says.
I don't think that's how you do a palm reading.
All right, so
he'll kind of palm reading.
He'll take your hand. I have already looked into your future. Let's see.
Yeah, but I could always use an update. Maybe you've got like a 1.1.
So your mom's still dead.
Yeah. Mom's still dead. Country's still kind of recovering from shambles. No. Why? Your future is always so hard to read. It could be your unpredictability. But it does look...
Blanks. No idea what you're talking about.
Of course you don't, princess. But, so I know you're going to Evereska to kill whoever the fuck it is that invaded your hometown. Your...
Elzafuck.
That is an interesting... That's not his real name, is it?
As far as we're concerned.
Yeah. Elzafuck. Anyway, he has someone...
I'm so mad that he put me on a do not disturb list.
He did. He really did. Oh, man.
Yeah, he blocked your number.
So, he has someone who's quite special to you, doesn't he?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
I see her somewhere dark.
Like, dark or dark bad?
Like, just dark. Not dark, bad. Like, dark as in doesn't have very much
like
life.
There's...
As far as I can see, she's still alive.
Okay. And what's her prognosis, like, outlook? Is there any... Okay, let me put it this way. From what you can see, like, multiple possible futures and shit like that, you know, look at the 6 million futures, what is the best way for me to keep her alive as we invade?
Well, I don't see 6 million different futures. I'm not Doctor Strange.
He's Doctor Strangelove.
Rolls a history check to see if I know what Doctor Strange...
I'm sure I can walk.
Would Doctor Strange be a history check, or would you also need to be psychic?
Arcana for breaking the fourth wall, Arcana.
Fine, I will roll Arcana.
Well,
like how this is, what, 3 times now players have called for skill checks?
Yeah.
I do not know, by the way.
You do not know. So, anyway, it's quite hazy. I saw her, someplace dark. Probably, maybe underground? I don't know.
Okay.
It was very, very hazy, princess.
Did you say that they have some kind of tinfoil wall around?
I couldn't tell.
No, it's not like, a cage.
No, it's a Faraday cage.
Faraday cage. God damn it, Dave.
Well, Charlie, you're the only one that I haven't read. Are you interested? You sound so enthusiastic.
Well, I mean, to be fair, we have sort of all been, like, you know, ridiculing this guy during his entire magic show.
It's not a magic show.
Guys, this is serious.
Mm. Oh, this is... All right, so you're looking for a tree? Oh, it's what's in the tree. Oh, I see. Some odd multi-dimensional traveling tavern thing. Oh, well... I do see snow still on the ground, so you're probably going to find it quite soon. Probably in the next, what, few weeks? Couple of weeks? You've been looking for this for a while? Answers that you've been searching for your whole life. Well, that's exciting.
Charlie's like, well, I have most of the answers I've been looking for in my life, which is who I am and what I am and where I come from. So really, the only questions left are, like, my parents. So that would be cool, I guess.
And also, like, the GPS coordinates to this tree. Maybe a doorknob to open it.
Yeah, like, a general area of where I should be for this tree.
He... Let me try looking a little deeper. Oh. Well, not far at all. It appears it's going to show up somewhere around here.
Hey guys, I'm going on a camping trip. See you guys later.
Well, it's not going to show up for another few weeks. And probably at most. Yes, I think you would have time to do your Elzafuck business and then get back. But, it has been quite a day for all of you, I'm sure. So, I think it's probably time to retire for the night. It is good to see you all again, and meet some of you for the first time.
It was a pleasure. This pillow's real.
They are, aren't they?
Can I ask where you get them? I might have to get one.
Oh, I have them imported from Kalimport.
Okay, noted. Thank you.
Yeah, so it's...
My eye twitches.
Oh, yes. Bad memories from Kalimport, I see.
Calm down there.
Well, not all bad memories.
Well, he wishes you all a good night, sees you to the door, and the sun has set. Well, not set completely, but it is below the wall of the city, so it is getting quite dark. But is there any... You guys make it back to your house? Okay, so for those of you who haven't seen it, or don't remember because it's been a while since you've seen it, this is the layout of your house. Yeah.
Do we have staff?
Yes, you do, actually. You have two staff members that you hired from
Right.
They were retired members of Ilvana's brothel.
To be clear, because this was new to me remembering this, this is an actual house that exists in the town.
Yes.
Not Victor's mansion or our tiny house or one of the many other... It's good to own land and we have a lot of it.
Yes,
but
no.
Yes, this is an actual house in the town.
Yes, an actual house in the town that you actually own, and you hired David and Rose from the Dragon's Haven to take care of it. And you guys, they also have a cat that they took in to take care of a little mouse problem that they had a couple of months back.
What's the cat's name?
It was Jessamine, I believe.
Wait, I have to take my shoes off?
It's your house. It's your guys' house. You can do whatever you want. Yeah, but I do remember that Saleya took a room. I think she took one of the bigger rooms and decorated it as gaudily as she possibly could.
Well, yeah, red and blue everywhere, duh.
Considering I wear, like, yeah, that's an affair that... that's gonna take a moment.
Okay. David and Rose welcome you all home, meet the new people, and then they ask if you guys want dinner, but they'll make a meal, and you guys will have dinner. Is there anything else that you want to do before you all lay down for bed for the night?
Yeah, I would like to show our new people to their rooms that used to belong to old people, but they're indisposed at the moment.
Yeah.
Trayvok will make air quotes.
Yeah, one's
actually
dead.
Give our people some rooms.
This is your room. I know you were comatose at the time.
It's not like death is really permanent.
Well, I think that Octa and Charlie wasn't here.
I was gonna say I think it's just me, Octa, and Saleya.
Yeah.
I think everybody else is new.
Mm-hmm. So, but if I remember correctly, I believe Saleya took this room.
Of course.
Well,
indubitably.
I am the richest one.
Victor wants that one.
Yep.
Oh. Yeah.
That's mine.
No, that's... No,
this
one's yours. That one's mine. Okay, yeah. Okay, yeah, so the second richest one should have...
I probably have, like, a broom closet somewhere back here.
You sleep in Victor's walk-in closet.
You're on...
I have, like, a richest room and, like...
This is a bathroom. This is a bathroom.
Oh, okay. All right, what was that, Charlie?
We're good.
Octa sleeps here.
Yeah.
I think that makes sense.
Oh, Jesus.
I just found, like, a crawl space, like, like over another room. It's technically the attic.
Jesus.
I just kind of stuck on there.
Well, wait, this would mean sharing a wall with Saleya.
It would.
But how often do I actually have people over for that kind of thing?
Not very often, considering literally only three of the party members have ever been to this house.
I have, yeah.
All right. So y'all can pick your rooms. You can mark them if you want. Here, we'll do text.
I have no idea.
Why can't keep I type?
Well, well.
So there's Saleya's room. Keep out, Saleya. Octa, that cannot be your room. That's not a room. That's a hallway.
Oh, which one is the smallest?
Probably that's a bathroom. Probably one of these.
And, all right.
I like the idea of Octa just sleeping in the hall.
I'll take the one with the window.
Octa would definitely be the hotel roommate that sleeps in the tub. You can drag some tree branches in.
Yeah, I was gonna say, like, probably, I know Saleya was saying that she decorates, like, lavishly decorates her room. My decorations are probably be, like, some sticks I found outside. I probably have, like, a really cool, couple really cool rocks. Between the corners of my room, I have a hammock set up. I don't really have a bed. It's just, like, bare floor with some sticks and stones.
I can't put Victor's name. It's just over top of
No, keep out Saleya is fine.
Okay.
What happened to Victor and Saleya getting along? They were getting along famously for a while.
Not that they're not getting along. It's that Victor doesn't want to be close to her bedroom.
Okay.
Now I've got to try to move this thing.
Did we have a combat last week? Not last week, but last time we played?
I don't remember. No.
Okay, so Victor's got low HP and very few spells left on my sheet.
You know
I'm
what?
Trying to figure
I'm
out
going
why.
Here.
I mean, it might be the same day in game, but we've not had combat for a while. And also, I assume Charlie would be with her fiance.
Are you guys sharing a room? Scandalous.
Well, then they should share a bigger room.
Look, if it's really an issue, I'll have a worker come in tomorrow and put in some soundproofing, okay? You guys can have the other larger. I mean, look at me. I'm gonna have to listen to Yarkris. I'm gonna have to listen to Yarkris and Eric going at it. So.
That's if he ever gets out here.
I'm just real happy with my rocks and sticks in my room.
I like Jesus how Victor Christ. Is existing off to the side now. For some reason.
Oh God.
Joey, did I miss a long rest or something? I kind of need to know.
You might have. I don't know. Just give yourself a long rest.
Okay.
Well, we are also about to take one, like, with seconds from now.
I'm assuming Trayvok's gonna take one of these three rooms over here.
I've changed my mind. I'm taking the window. It's my one thing that I would take.
Your one luxury.
They all have windows. It's...
Well, then these rooms are all equal in value.
Just some rooms are more equal than others.
Well, one room has a built-in privy.
Yeah, but it's one of those privies that, like, connects to the bedroom, but also to the hallway.
Victor locks the one to the hallway.
It's the only bathroom in the house!
Another sign goes up, keep out Saleya.
I'm so unwanted. my suit, my fake mother didn't want me, and now my friends don't want me.
Yeah, Joey, is that why we own this house? Is that why it was so cheap?
Because it was foreclosed on because nobody else would fucking buy it because it was six bedrooms, one bath, big kitchen, no other
bathroom. Alright, okay, fine. This one's also a bathroom
we're
then.
We're in three huts and shit. Okay. Hell yeah. Okay. Room and a door and create a bathroom just so we have more.
Okay. It has two bathrooms.
We need the tiny hut to piss.
It has two bathrooms.
Tiny hut doesn't make a house. It just makes a dome. You don't move away.
Okay. Well, okay. So as somebody who knows how long it takes Trayvok to take his shit, I'm going to put up our door to our little tiny house that I got from Solteria and put it out with another fucking bathroom in the hallway.
So now you have three bathrooms?
No, I'm going to put it in solely mine and Victor's bathroom as a master bath for us to use only.
I was going to say, if it only had, like, look, this in the long term is trivial, but if there's two bathrooms and it's a huge house, logically one of them is a master bath, which means that there's one bathroom for the remaining five bedrooms. We're setting up the tiny house.
Yep, the tiny house is a master bathroom for Victor and I.
I like the idea that, like, Trayvok is giving this guy, like, this is a, like, No. This will not do. We need another toilet. Where am I going to go?
Exactly.
I was wondering if Victor makes a Mordekainen's Magnificent Mansion that's just a spa with, like, way too many bathrooms.
Oh, oh Jesus God. Christ.
Oh, man. I love that.
Mordekainen's like, Magnificent Center. Yeah.
Well, it's not just all bathroom. Like, it's also got, like the big just, bathtubs and whatnot, too.
Like,
oh, yeah, like the enormous Roman goodness. Bath.
Yeah.
Just imagine, like, one room is just a giant, like, I don't know, like, 300 square foot room, and just in the center of it is a toilet. Like, oh, like just in the center, just really roomy and spacious.
Okay. Oh, so, does anybody else want
to
do...
So we go to sleep.
Yeah, does anybody want to do anything else before they go to before we go to sleep?
Only thing, I'm staying up a little late just to study my book more, but that's about it.
Okay. How much more do you have of that book?
It's getting close, so I think this will be day 5, and if I'm going to stay up late to try to study more of this. Hold on, let me do some math here. We do, like,
one. Octa, you know that you could just be, like, on a carpet while we're, like, traveling the road, and you could be reading, right?
Right. We just haven't really had a chance to do that yet. Like,
we've been teleporting.
Yeah, like, every time we have taken a nap, I've been like, cool, I'm staying up until 3 in the morning reading this book.
Octa, would you like to go camping? You and I could go camp out looking for this tree.
Oh my god.
In the middle of winter, in the snow.
Yeah.
Okay.
We have camped the worst.
So, I think I have 8 more hours left, realistically. I could probably squeeze in a few more hours. We'll say I've got 6 hours left. Because like, if I stay up like literally until 3 in the morning reading this goddamn book...
Then, you're so close.
I am so close. Like literally tomorrow, if we don't do anything all day, I'll be done. But we'll probably do stuff, so it's fine.
Okay, so you all settle down to sleep. Victor, Charlie, there is only one bed in your room, so ooh la la.
Yeah, I'm gonna do a prayer.
Okay.
Yeah, I just send a prayer to the Bahamut. That's it.
Okay.
And rewatch my stone.
Well, listen to it. There's no watching, but. Yeah, it's cute.
I stare intently while listening to it.
So you all settle down for a sleep, and Yarkris, you have a dream. Well, I don't know, maybe it's a dream. You see Kalimport.
Uh-oh.
But it is...
I don't like where this is going already.
It's different from what you remember. You don't see anybody...
Is it on fire? It could be more on fire.
No. You don't see... anybody in chains or any kind of bondage. You don't see, you're like almost flying above the city, you kind of have like a bird's eye view, and no matter where you look you can't see any sign of like slaves or slavers. You see possible like servants who are paid to run errands. They don't seem to be dressed in the rags that the slaves usually are dressed in, and it looks peaceful and content and like what you dreamed your Kalimport could be. And then you hear a voice beside you. You know, you could have all of this.
Oh.
I could make it reality for you. And as you laugh and turn, you do see Thalia standing next to you. On nothing. You guys are just like standing in midair over the city. Yes, I'm sure that your friends have already told you. I've already visited Victor and Octa and Celaya. They've all turned me down. I'm sure they've told you. But it would be rude not to make an offer to everyone. And so this is my offer. You want
Channel
freedom.
Divinity.
Channel Divinity. Oh, okay. What are you trying to do?
Turn the unholy.
Okay. Is that work in a dream?
It's a wisdom save. Does it work in a dream?
She's
technically undead. She's in my brain.
This is true? Huh. A wisdom save, huh?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Let me pull Thalia's fucking character sheet out. Hold on.
Wait. Like, please proceed. This is great. But do you have to mark off a spell slot, or do you just get infinite spells
in
your dream?
I was thinking the same thing.
Channel Divinity is one of my divinities. I got 4 of them.
Right, but are you going to wake up with 3?
Here we go.
Yeah.
Wisdom saving throw. She has advantage. Okay. Oh shit. Yeah, that's something stupid. That's a 23.
Oh, well, it beats 16.
Yes, it does.
It does. Mm-hmm. Very good.
Yeah, we can do math.
Yarkris. Honestly.
I start glowing.
Okay.
Victor, you're not there.
That wasn't Victor, that was just me. Geek.
Yarkris.
I am pouring every radiant spell into my body right now.
Oh, well, I knew not to expect anything from you. I just thought it would be rude not to offer. Certainly, hopefully, nothing bad happens on your fiancé's little ship on his way to drop the king off. That would just
harm him, and there would be nothing that can save you. Not even a god's intervention. And I will chase you to the ends of the earth, including the nine hells.
I look forward to the chase. And then she vanishes, and you slip further into your dream, and it fades into this. The city of Kalimport just fades away and is replaced by a roaring, tidal wave-fueled ocean. And then you see the Wind Grace, and it is being tossed in the waves and the wind. The sails are ripped. One of the masts is snapped. And you watch as it struggles against the waves and the storm until eventually you lose sight of it. Treyvok!
You find me in the bathroom at 4 a.m. What's up?
No, you're sleeping.
I forgot. Okay.
Vision comes as he's just ripping a giant dump.
I think he's falling asleep while he's doing it. Like, it's just taking that long.
That's why it takes him so long in the shitter. Because he just falls asleep on it. Or,
yeah, anyway, sure. Yep. This is where we're at now.
Your bedroom should just be the bathroom.
Continue.
Treyvok, you are back home in Thornhold. It's exactly mm-hmm. how you remember it. A glorious, well-crafted, dwarven-built fort on the Sword Coast, standing for generations, place that you called home. And when you last left it, you were being glared at, yelled at, and just overall being berated by the members of your family, except for your mother, who just could only stand off to the side and cry, as not only in one day did she lose her husband, she's lost her son. But it's different. You're back home. You're at the long dinner table with your aunt and uncle, your many cousins, and your mother. And you're sitting down for dinner, and the door to your dining hall bursts open, and you see your father come in, laughing, smiling, like you remember him. He sits down next to you, clasps a hand on your shoulder, squeezes tight, the symbol of a father proud of his son. And all at once, the scene freezes, and you hear a voice behind you. I've already visited Yarkris tonight, and that didn't go exactly well, but like I told him, I'll tell you, it would be rude not to give an offer. I know that go ahead.
I was just going to say, Treyvok looks at what I presume is Thalia and just very bluntly states, you're not someone who respects the word no, are you?
Oh, no, I respect it, but it's just an offer.
Treyvok just looks at her and says, your presence here suggests otherwise.
Look, you won't see me again in your dreams after this. I only visited Victor a couple of times because that was a necessary evil. Look, I know that you found a new family, but I know that you want your old one back too. Had to take your father from you, and I won't say that I'm sorry because I know you won't believe it, and I'm not.
Treyvok, about halfway, like, I'll let you get all that out, but like, mid-sentence, just like, lunges to grab her throat. You can make me roll if that's going to be successful.
Yeah, roll an attack.
Unarmed.
Mm-hmm.
17.
That does not hit her. Okay. She just kind of like phases backwards. Oh, well, yes, you do have a temper. Look, I'll give you your father back. You can have everything back. We'll clear up any of the misunderstandings. And you can go home. Isn't that what you want?
Trayvok just very clearly, like, you know, like, he realizes he's been in a rage, and he just does that, like, deliberate, like, close your eyes, like, deep breath, you know, really calm himself, and just, again, with, like, deliberate calm, he just tells Thalia, I don't need you. My family will always be with me. And he just, like, claps his hand on his shoulder where his ancestral barbarian tattoos are, and then, I don't know, is there a way I can wake myself up from this dream? Like how do I leave my own dream?
Give me a constitution saving throw. Should be good. Your con's pretty high.
21.
21. Yeah, you wake up.
And I return to something far more important than this conversation with Thalia.
Which is sitting on the shitter at 4 a.m.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. All right. I think that is a good place to take a break. So yeah, everybody use bathroom, get some drinks, get a sneaky snack, and we'll meet back here in a few minutes. Thank you for listening to this episode of Inspirational Crits. My name is Joey, and I'm the DM. Our players include Abby as Charlie, Aaron as Saleya, Havoc as Yarkris, Alex as Trayvok, Geek as Victor, and Zach as Okta. We'll catch you in the next one. Remember, stay weird. Not dog okay. Bad, like dog as in doesn't have very much
like
as light.
In there's not so much light, not like I'm listening to a lot of Alanis Morissette.
Yeah. That. Like that.
Sorry.
That was funny as fuck. But... don't apologize.